Well, we are continuing our series, as I say, top of the morning to you, and the series in the book of Hebrews, The Supremacy of Christ, Making Jesus the Main Attraction. And we're getting close to the end of this book. And we're going to go this time to one of the more well-known chapters here in Hebrews, and it's Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you brought a Bible along with you, we're going to go to Hebrews 11. Otherwise, we'll have it up on the wall there eventually. Now, you know what? I realized it was a little less than a year ago that I did a sermon on Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, it was part of my Postcards from New York series. I'm sure you know all about that, and you probably want to listen to it again. But anyways, if you want to pick it up online, you have nothing better to do, you can hear that. But I'll try and come up with some brand new material for you this morning. Don't want to be too boring. You know, we just had the Oscars handed out last weekend. And you know that in Hollywood, they have that very well-known Walk of Fame. More than 2,700 stars are on that Walk of Fame now. Down Hollywood Boulevard and other streets have been added over the years as people have been putting their handprints in the sidewalk. Canada has a Walk of Fame. Yeah, it's on King West in downtown Toronto. The Village of Ayr, where I live, has a Walk of Fame. Well, sort of. You walk through this park, and you can see all kinds of names carved into the sidewalk. People that have, you know, made a donation to beautify the park, maybe to honor a loved one. Well, the ultimate Walk of Fame, okay, not that there is such a thing in heaven, physically anyway, but in Hebrews 11, we have what many people have called the Faith Hall of Fame. Faith Hall of Fame. And if you've never read Hebrews 11, I suggest, you know, you get to read it, because I'm going to skim over some of it here. I'll get to some important parts. But if you want to get some good reading, just read Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll get a real history lesson, really, of the children of Israel. But because there are some very famous people in this portion of the scriptures, and they were commended, honored, not for their talents and their exploits, like we like to honor people for, but they are of note because of their faith. And we were encouraged last Sunday. I had forgotten, actually, some very similar words have already been written down by the author to the Hebrews back in chapter 10 and verse 22, and we looked at that, didn't we? And we were encouraged, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. We have this new and living way now through Jesus Christ. And so the author is basically saying, hey, we're allowed to draw near to God now. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Let's draw near to God. Now, I mentioned as a little review, the writer of Hebrews has shown us that now, under this new covenant, okay, we are not only cleansed outwardly, not just the sprinkling of a blood from a lamb or a goat. There are churches these days where the minister or priest comes along and shakes a little thing and sprinkles water on people. It's all outward. It's all outward. No, this cleansing in Christ's blood makes us clean on the inside. We're talking about that in Hebrews. The author was saying how, you know, following the law didn't change anybody's conscience. Still had a guilty conscience. But we can now have our consciences freed and cleaned right down into our very souls because of what Jesus has done. Actually, I just read something interesting about the conscience just yesterday, of all things. But now, our conscience isn't always an accurate guide. Our conscience doesn't actually tell us what's right and what's wrong. Our conscience tells us what's right and what's wrong according to what we already believe, right? And most of us are influenced totally by the world. And so that's when our conscience will tell us, oh, no, this is okay. Oh, no, that's not so good. Remember the little angel and the devil on your shoulders? But we can be clean right down to our souls. And so as we study more about what God believes, then our conscience begins to respond to that. And we know when, I need to, you know, whatever you need to do sometimes. We repent, right? We come back. We receive forgiveness. I was watching a devotional on YouTube this week, and I was reminded of something that I didn't mention. You know, this notion of having our bodies washed with pure water, what does that mean? Well, it has nothing to do, again, with some kind of outward cleansing. It's not baptism, but as it is described in several places, the Word of God, these scriptures in our Bible are sometimes referred to as pure water. In Ephesians 5, Paul even talked about the washing with water through the Word. So again, we need the daily cleansing that comes, and we find it as we spend time here in the Scriptures. We begin to understand, what does God want me to be like? And we start to align ourselves up to His ideas and values in a world where we're constantly bombarded with every other idea and value. So we need to spend so much time in God's Word. We receive so much of the world's wisdom. Not all bad, but we need to remind ourselves and we need to nourish ourselves on the food that we actually find in the Scriptures. Anybody here read the comics? Saturday comics? Did you see the Pickles comics? I should have brought it in. You saw Pickles, didn't you? Did you see Pickles? The old man and his wife, right? Oh, I should have brought it in. I wish I did. All right, here we go. As you can see, I'm ad-libbing at this moment. Grandma is in a chair reading a book. Grandpa is reading a newspaper. And the little kid, the grandkid, comes in and says, Grandma, what are you doing? And she said, I'm reading my scriptures. Oh. And he said, well, what are you doing with that marker? And she said, well, I'm highlighting the parts that I really like. And the little fella said, oh, Grandpa told me you were crossing out the parts you don't like. But as I look back, I don't know why I shared that with you. Hey, it's a potluck Sunday. As we look back on Hebrews 10:22, we get some more words that are going to be repeated in this book, okay? The full assurance that comes by faith, confidence that we can have, encouragement and inspiration that we receive to help us in our own walk with God through Jesus Christ. And I thought I would title this sermon, Assurance and Confidence to Run with Perseverance. I know, it's a mouthful. But we need assurance and confidence if we are going to successfully run our race with perseverance. We need faith. Now, as we get into Hebrews 11, and first off, as I said, we're going to just skim. This is quite a lengthy chapter. I hope you'll review it yourself sometime. But there are two very important verses that I need to highlight here first. And, you know, like the lady in the Pickles comics, these are the ones you should be maybe marking in your Bible, not crossing out. But these are ones you need to know off by heart, actually, or at least know that they can be found in Hebrews 11. I'm not the greatest when it comes to memorizing verses, especially these days, but I am pretty good, at getting familiar as to where to find things, or at least knowing that this is in Hebrews 11. I'm not too bad at that. Did you ever notice the same thing I have? Someone hands you their Bible and they say, hey, look up the, what's that verse for me? And you go, well, it's, wait a minute, in my Bible, it's on this side of the page. I can't find anything in somebody else's Bible. So become familiar with yours. Try not to lose your Bible, right? But the more you mark it up and become familiar with it, the better. So let it become something comfortable in your hand. You know, mark stuff up. If there are any vegans among us, there were no animals harmed in the creation of this Bible. This is plastic or something. Anyway, let it feel comfortable in your hands. But let's start off with, two very important verses. The first one is the first one. Okay, Hebrews 11 and verse 1. This is one we need to know. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And that's why I wanted to spend a bit of time in Hebrews 10:22. Because when we think about faith, it's not blind faith. It's not some giant leap in the dark. And the more you're in the Word, the more you see our faith will be strengthened as we can see that there are all kinds of really, really good reasons to believe what we believe. An assurance, a confidence. As we get to Easter Sunday, for instance, and you know, people talk about, oh, the resurrection, did he really rise from the dead? And it becomes so important because we can trust, especially the gospel writers, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, eyewitnesses to the events of Jesus' life here on earth. And in Mark's case, he interviewed all kinds of people. John, in 1 John, he said, hey, we've seen him. Our eyes have seen him. We've touched him. We saw him after he was risen from the dead. That's amazing. We'll see it referenced to in Hebrews 11. But just as many people from the past in the Old Testament, many of those early followers of Jesus were also martyred for what they believed. There are many Christians today. They can't tell people they have become a Christian or it's the duty of their family to end their life. And even in the face of death, as we look at these people in this first century, nobody recanted, right? Nobody said, oh, wait, hold on, you got me. The jig is up. Oh, no, I'm not going to die for this story that we all just made up. No, it's not true. Hold your fire. And we today actually have an advantage. Because when you read over the list of people here in Hebrews 11, they didn't have those kinds of eyewitness accounts that you and I can look back on. Right? We look back, we say, no, the Messiah, he was actually here. He was on the earth. People saw him. People saw him after he died, walking around. As it says in verse 13, these people didn't even receive the things that were promised. They welcomed them from a distance. They lived by faith. Hebrews 11:39, I think we got that one, don't we, Kevin? Thanks for doing that back there, by the way. These people were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I just find it very interesting that a couple of the prayer requests we had this morning were about waiting. And I think this helps us. Not everything will come to us in this life. We, along with them, have something better to look forward to. Planned by God. And somehow it won't come to completion until all of God's children get home. Hey, you want to be a child of God? It's got nothing to do with the church you go to, by the way. It starts when you humble yourself before the Lord. You admit to him. You invite him. You say, Lord, I admit I am a sinner. I fall so far short of your glory. I can't reach up to you, but you reach down to me. And so it's simply a matter of telling him, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. And so, Lord, right now, would you just come into my life? Forgive me of my sins. And help me walk from this day forward the way you want me to. And you know, He puts his Holy Spirit in you. Again, doesn't matter what church you go to. He who began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So, I don't know. If you get to the place now where you're thinking, gee, this guy's just going on forever and ever. If you want to zone out and just say a prayer like that to the Lord this morning, that's far better than anything I got to share with you. But start your walk with Christ today. In a personal way. And you want to ask me questions about that? You feel free. So some important words about faith. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. or rather Hebrews 11 and verse 1, and then Hebrews 11 and verse 6. This is the other one we have to have firmly in our hearts and minds. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it's more than just believing in a God, because the devil believes in God, but he's not going to heaven. But we have to earnestly seek him in the way that he told us. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. We've learned this time and time again here in this letter of Hebrews. Following the law, right? All the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic laws and the codes. Following the law does not save anyone. It never saved anyone. No flesh, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, nobody will be justified by the works of the law. And here in Hebrews, right, we discovered these people, these Old Testament saints. And by the way, saints is just a word for followers of Jesus. We are planning to see them in heaven someday. Not because they were the best people, some of them weren't, but they combined what they heard with faith. You can review that in Hebrews 4 and verse 2 sometime, right, where that combining with faith is mentioned. Some of the newer translations, they say that the message was of no value to these people because they didn't share the faith of those who obeyed, thinking of Joshua and Caleb, right? The only two, I guess, that survived those 40 years in the wilderness from that original group, because they had faith. So what we hear has to be combined with faith. The Mosaic Law does not save anyone's soul. It shows us just how far short we fall of the glory of God. And then seeing that, right? God, you're way up here and I'm way down here. That ought to cause us to run to the cross. That's what the law is for. That's the purpose of the law. It's to drive us to Jesus Christ, our great high priest. When we were in Hebrews 4, I think I made that comment, but I remember back in the day, I haven't heard this said too much lately, but let's say you were trying to share your faith with a friend, trying to explain the gospel to somebody and being a Christian, and they'd say, well, you know, I go to church. Okay, yeah, that's commendable. But, you know, spending an hour each week in a building, that doesn't make you a Christian, does it? And then we used to say something like, it's like spending time sitting in a garage. Spend all the time you want in there. You'll never become a Buick. That can't be a new joke to you people. No, but, you know, or a minivan or an SUV, even if you're in the presence of the best mechanics. Oh, we've got a really good, preacher at our church, a good pastor, and he wears a big robe and he does all the hocus pocus stuff up front. What's that going to do for you? You have to combine whatever is being taught, because it's not all bad. No, whatever church you go to, it's not all bad at all. Even this one's not all bad. No, this one's pretty good. You got to combine what you hear with faith. People sitting Sunday after Sunday, maybe they sing the songs, maybe they hear a good message. I hope you hear a good message. But none of that changes you unless you combine what you hear with faith. No other way to please God. But if you've been seeking him earnestly, you know, and ups and downs of life, hey, listen, be assured, he is rewarding you. And he will reward you. You've discovered some of that already, haven't you? I mean, sometimes very much there are great rewards in this life. And as we draw some inspiration from these people mentioned in Hebrews 11, let's be encouraged to keep seeking him. Because the greatest rewards, the best, is still yet to come, isn't it? Now, as I said, we won't look at all the verses here. We'll start smelling food in a moment. and I'll lose you all. Now, in these verses, we're going to see people like Abel, people like Enoch. There's Noah and Abraham and Sarah, people who, as it says in Hebrews 11, verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By the way, chapter 11 and verse 16. Did you know part of that has been engraved as the motto on the Order of Canada medal? Did you know that? The motto on the back of that medal is, they desire a better country. It was Prime Minister Lester B. Pearson. They named a whole airport after him. But he wanted that. Now, Mr. Pearson knew, okay, it's referring to heaven. He knew it was from the Bible, but they certainly don't publicize that anymore. But more than 7,000 people have received the Order of Canada. And that Bible verse, chapter 11, verse 16 of Hebrews, on the back of it. And the better country that these heroes of the faith and now you and I are looking for, the better country, oh, it's far more than just the true north, strong and free, everything north of the 49th parallel. No, it is a heavenly dwelling, one still yet to come in all its fullness. Now, before I let the lunch get cold, I mentioned my hope that you would just take some time and read over this list. You'll find some great inspiration here. There's Moses in here. Even Rahab. Yeah, Rahab the prostitute is in here. She had faith. So it's not by works, is it? But if you have faith. But I jotted something down. Way back when we were doing our Bible study on Zoom with Allison Allen. Some of you will remember Allison Allen. And we were totally blessed by that study she did. The study was called Hidden, Finding Delight in Your Life with Christ, Being Hidden. And I wrote this down. I wrote it on a sticky note. I had it stuck on my desk for like a month or two because I knew I wanted to include this when we get to Hebrews chapter 11 finally. It's something I hadn't thought of before, but she said in that study, now you remember Allison was an actress, so she was an amazing writer, so she did some acting out of some of these Bible characters, and she said in Hebrews chapter 11, there is no ta-da moment. No ta-da moment. What'd she mean by that? Well, you already know. There are many spectacular exploits performed by many of the people named in this chapter. I'll start here. It says in verse 35, yes, women received back their dead, raised to life again. I think Elisha and Elijah did that. But then we get this little section of Hebrews 11. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. More rewards. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. I don't want to ruin your lunch, but they believe that's what happened to Isaiah, the prophet. They put him in a log and then sliced the log in half. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Ta-da! No. No, you know what? There are so many people, and they're not even mentioned by name. We'll never even know who they are. So many people in the world right now, billions. We have no idea who they are. But God knows every last one of them. No, and as Allison was teaching us, she said, you know, if we were writing a chapter like Hebrews 11, we wouldn't have ended it that way. Oh, no, not if we were talking about heroes of faith on this walk of fame. No, we would switch it all around. I mean, we might admit, okay, all right, yes, you're followers of God, now followers of Jesus. Yeah, you know, you may have some struggles. But we would end the chapter. We'd build it up to Moses, behold, right? Joseph and his amazing technicolor dream coat. We'd highlight the biggest stars. We wouldn't conclude with unknown nobodies. What? Destitute, persecuted, mistreated. No. Not for us. We're the king's kids. We don't settle for anything less. Grab hold of your destiny, prosperity, health and wealth. Claim it, name it. Those are the words we hear most often today. And then we wonder why people are no longer interested in coming to church anymore. Right? They can smell a salesperson, a sales pitch, a million miles away. People watching what some of the stuff they see on TV. And I'm afraid what is being taught far too often in many Christian churches these days. No. Sometimes you won't see the rewards until after you have left this world. It's true. Sometimes you may be in some sort of affliction physically your whole life. Doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Somebody was sawn in too. They were in the will of God. Huh? Hey, how do we know that the Word of God, the Bible, really is the Word of God, not just made up by people? Well, one of the reasons is right here in Hebrews chapter 11. I mean, it tells it like it is. It's the truth. We would sugarcoat it. You know, we would add in some glitz and glamour because we don't want to turn people away. They won't come back next Sunday. I remember an illustration one time. Somebody younger was saying it to a very elderly woman. And this person said, oh, I would give the world to know the Bible the way you do. And she said, yeah, that's pretty much what it took. Had to leave things behind. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. The world is not worthy for the likes of these people. The world honors success, popularity, prestige, and so does the Christian world sometimes. Oh, sure, we should highlight some of the famous people in the Bible. Yes, dare to be a Daniel. The scriptures are filled with great stories. They'll last a lifetime. But as Allison Allen reminded us, the vast majority of Christ's followers will never be known by name down here. And as I close, I remind you, fellow hidden ones, whose lives are hidden, but take heart. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior personally, he's in your heart. You've been spiritually reborn, born again, born from above, as Jesus said. Take heart. You are hidden with God. Your life is hidden with God, in God, and hidden with Christ. Now, you just try and show me anything better than that. Good luck to Ralu Ralura. There's nothing better. Our lives are hidden with God in Christ. Now, you remember my lengthy title for the sermon this morning? Jess, did you get it all written down? Yeah. Oh, good. Look at that. You could have preached the whole thing. All these people. And those you and me. Hey, listen, there are people you and I know. I know quite a few of them right here in this room today. We honor them. We honor them today because they are men and women who, in spite of many difficulties, they still walk with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They choose to do that one step at a time. And by all these examples, pick a person you might know, pick their example if you wish. May we too find, as Jess said, assurance and confidence to run with perseverance. I had to write it down to remind myself. Now, keep running. And okay, first three verses of Hebrews 12, since we're going through the book. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, people who've gone on before us, a witness is someone who testifies to what they know about God. Like in a court of law, you testify. We're surrounded by all these people. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen, amen, yes. And for whatever reason, because Hebrews 11 ends with that whole thought, that all these people, they didn't receive what was promised. They're still waiting for us. Everything won't be made complete till we get there. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Now, before I call up the Irish-clad fellow to lead us in our final song here this morning and let you all go down and have some lunch. Okay, you picked a song from a real authentic Irishman. Yeah, like Colin. Robin Mark, Days of Elijah. We're going to sing that one. Now, do you know what? And for a couple decades now, these declarations in this song we're going to sing, and we think about our great need for revival. Don't we need that in the world today, especially in North America, here in this gathering, but also in churches all over the world? As we sing this song, think about it. We commit again to declaring the word of the Lord. Personally and corporately, let us restore righteousness in spite of great trials. Let these dry bones become flesh again. Let's rebuild a temple of praise, all of us, as those living stones laboring in God's vineyard, lifting our voice, declaring what we know to be true, because he is coming. He's coming riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. We labor and we listen for the sound of the trumpet's call. Because it ain't over yet. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and mercy to us. Lord, increase our faith. We're just like those apostles, I think. We just said, increase our faith. And then Jesus said, hey, if you got a faith enough the size of a mustard seed, oh Lord, the things you could do with us, when we put our faith and trust in you. Let us keep doing that. Let us encourage one another as we all have a future and a hope that you have established for us. Help us on this road of life together. In Jesus' name, amen.